bombshell information buried in the DOJ's Epstein files release has blown the Kurt Cobain case wide open, directly implicating Courtney Love in his murder, and proving that an entire generation was lied to on a cosmic scale. Newly released Epstein files drop a bombshell. Kurt Cobain wasn't just another 27 Club member. His wife Courtney Love was hell-bent on breaking into Hollywood, and she found a shortcut to the top. We're talking the darkest deal in the world, paid for in the industry's preferred currency, the blood of trafficked children. This led Courtney into the orbit of Jeffrey Epstein and Marina Abramovich. And from the moment Kurt threatened to blow the whistle about the real nature of these people and the entertainment industry, his days were numbered. We've got the damning documents they're trying to conceal, the forensic evidence, and the whistleblower accounts that not only tie Courtney to the darkest trade on Earth, they suggest that she has developed a taste for human flesh. Before we dive in, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and join the People's Voice Locals community to join our incredible community, support the channel, and gain access to exclusive and uncensored content. Kurt Cobain didn't stay silent about elite paedophilia. He called it out directly in his hometown scene, long before he became a global icon. Once fame pulled him deep into the upper layers of Hollywood, he began to suspect the rot wasn't local, it was structural. Cobain wasn't just hearing rumours. He was seeing the industry up close. Jeffrey Epstein gained access to Cobain's inner circle, attending the iconic MTV Unplugged event. Epstein also became so close with his wife Courtney that she appeared in his little black book, her name circled, indicating she was a key contact. So when Cobain began warning the world about sex traffickers and their islands, he knew what he was talking about. That's why the predators that control the entertainment industry began sharpening their knives.
So then there's this big conspiracy amongst a judge, a very well-known, prominent judge here in Seattle, and a bunch of other people who had ties with Hollywood, and they basically just set her up and ruined her life, you know? They, had some pictures taken of her when she was arrested for drunk driving, and it was a big, huge scandal, and she eventually was sent to a mental institution and given a lobotomy and raped every day for years. And just totally abused, and ended up like working at a Four Seasons restaurant alone and dying by herself.
It was still a Bainbridge Island. That's where she was institutionalized, right over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was this whole broken down infirmary there.
For years, every night there were lines of custodians, friends, and people, you know, part of the staff who would wait in line to every day, you know? She went through a lot of shit. And it just disgusts me, you know, to know that there are some of the people that are part of that conspiracy are living here in Seattle in their comfortable, cushy little homes with their families.
Now, a bombshell forensic investigation has revealed that Cobain did not commit suicide. He was murdered. After a fresh review of the autopsy and crime scene evidence, the lead specialist declared the indicators pointed to a staged scene, not a straightforward suicide. Their peer-reviewed report lists multiple forensic red flags. Signs of overdose, oxygen deprivation, the position of his hands, the lack of blood, and post-mortem inconsistencies, fueling claims that the original Rowland concealed something far darker.
We talked to an FBI expert. He said, if you want to get away with murder, you kill a junkie. It's very easy to make a murder look like an accidental overdose or a suicide. It's the perfect crime, and it happens all the time.
Unfortunately for the perpetrators, the Epstein files have been released. Decades of correspondence they never thought would see the light of day. And if Courtney thought the results of the forensic investigation were bad news, we're here to deliver even more. She features heavily in the Epstein files.
We know that Kurt and Courtney had a prenuptial agreement. They were in the process of getting a divorce. This was confirmed. They were divorcing. He was leaving her. If the divorce had gone through, she would have received a very small settlement as a result of the prenuptial agreement. When he died, she co-inherited an estate worth possibly more than $1 billion in future royalties.
She also stood to earn an even greater fortune from the Hollywood entertainment system she was infiltrating. serving the likes of Jeffrey Epstein and Marina Abramovich, and the trafficking industry. Buried deep in the Epstein files, a deposition by Paul G. Castle, a district court judge, names and shames Courtney Love as an Epstein accomplice involved in trafficking children. Asked if he was inferring that Courtney Love was involved in some kind of sexual abuse of minors, Cassell, the Utah judge, replied, "I would infer that if I were running a criminal investigation through the FBI and I'm trying to find people who would have relevant information, she would be one of the people I would want to talk to. I mean, the names that are circled here. Glenn Maxwell, one of the identified traffickers. Epstein is circled. The pilot, one of the pilots is circled." Of course, this was 2015. So the legal system protected the elite pedophile ring and the child traffickers were free to continue their vile activities. But this is 2026 and the world is waking up to the truth about the elite. And unfortunately for Courtney Love, she's been linked to some of the most horrific revelations in the entire Epstein files, including the consumption of baby flesh in the presence of Marina Abramovich. Code words for cannibalism are found throughout the files, including references to jerky, which is understood to mean child meat, and cream cheese, which is code for even younger flesh. An Epstein document shows a picture of a baby, also referred to as shrimp, in a kitchen sink holding cocktail sauce. The email in the file reads, "Some are like shrimp. You throw away the head and keep the body." This email also reveals the cannibal code word, chocolate cream pie, which somebody by the name of Francis Darby offered to teach to the Epstein Island inhabitants, at the same time as holding a jerky class. These people are beyond evil. The bad news for the cabal is that we are getting closer to total exposure every day. As for Courtney Love, the skeletons in her closet are rattling. And according to a paralegal involved in the case that exposed her as an Epstein accomplice, her crimes don't stop with the murder and trafficking. We have the details after this important word from our sponsor. It turns out that the key to losing weight and keeping it off is not about obsessing over carbs or fat or even probiotic-rich foods. The way to maintain a healthy weight, as well as increase your energy levels and live a long, healthy life, comes down to a specific and simple switch that you can flip in your body to flush out all of those unnecessary calories. Dr. Stephen Gundry calls this process the caloric bypass. He has seen thousands of people who have activated this process in their bodies dramatically improve their health. The people who've tried this find that their fat melts away, their energy levels improve like they were young again, and many of their health problems just simply vanish. Dr. Stephen Gundry has lost 70 pounds himself using his research and has kept the weight off for over 20 years and counting. He says that he feels younger and healthier today than when he was 40 years old. His video has been watched by over 20 million people to date. And you can watch it and learn more by visiting thehealthyfat.com/TPV. Please click the link below this video to learn his secret technique for free at thehealthyfat.com/TPV. Stardom is a gilded cage few ever escape. The elite don't just hand out fame, they loan it. The contract is written in blood, sealed with symbols you were never meant to notice. The all-seeing eye, the owl, the pyramid, the hidden hand signs flashed on red carpets as coded signals. The golden rule is brutal and unbreakable. Never speak of the machine that made you. Never lift the veil on the pedophile networks, the occult rituals, the leverage that keeps the whole pyramid standing. Expose the hidden financiers, the secret societies pulling strings from the shadows, and the red line is crossed. After that, silence is enforced. Look at the pattern. It's too precise to be coincidence. Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, Anthony Bourdain, Avicii, and Heish, they were active threats. They brushed too close to the same abyss. Vast networks of child exploitation, ritual abuse, blackmail operations run by untouchable bloodlines and power brokers. But decades before these names, there was Kurt Cobain, the grunge messiah who stared too long into the evil void of the industry, who refused to bow and paid the ultimate price.
Sure, the dog won't get out and attack us here?
2 years after Kurt Cobain died, a punk rock musician named El Duce went public with an explosive claim. El Duce said that in late 1993, Courtney Love offered him $50,000 to kill Kurt.
We're talking about Courtney Love contacted you to kill Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. They were hanging out in the rock shop. The shop in Hollywood.
He passed a polygraph test about these claims. So, just saying. 8 days after giving a videotaped interview, El Duce was struck by a train in Riverside, California. The death was ruled accidental, and he was drunk and wandered onto the tracks. But the timing, well, it was suspicious.
El Duce wasn't the only suspicious death in this period, as the Hollywood pedophile ring covered their tracks. Courtney Love's bass player, Kristen Pfaff, also died in deeply suspicious circumstances, just as she threatened to go public.
Please welcome, finish off the show, Hole, ladies and gentlemen.
In the 1990s, Courtney Love fronted her own band, Hole. The bassist was Kristen Pfaff. 2 months after Kurt died, Kristen all of a sudden decided to leave Seattle. She quit the band. She was packing to move back to Minnesota. And according to her friends, Kristen had just gotten clean and sober and was excited about starting fresh. But the day before she was going to leave, she was found dead in her bathtub.
I said, I've got to go. My bass player just died. Hung up. And went over there and saw her. And I was like, fucking fuck.
The fact that Kristen died, it was like, what? Are you fucking kidding?
The conspiracy theory suggests Kristen knew something about Kurt's death.
The Epstein files have confirmed many of the long-standing rumors about Courtney Love, her connections to elite networks, and the price that she paid to join them. And now, whistleblowers are coming forward to expose the depravity of the circle that considered Kurt Cobain an active threat, and ensured he was silenced.
I was a paralegal involved in the Council versus Dershowitz shit show in 2015. The court case wasn't just about money. There were allegations, sealed of course, but I read them all. Courtney was named in Epstein's Black Book, not as a victim, but as a recruiter, a trafficker in his twisted network. She wasn't some peripheral figure. She was key. Depositions from survivors painted her as the elegant enforcer, luring young models and aspiring artists into private jets bound for Little St. James and Zorro Ranch. She promised stardom, connections in Hollywood, but it was all a trap. Epstein's operation relied on women like her. Charming, connected, untouchable, she bridged the gap between the island orgies and the red carpet elite, making sure the powerful stayed supplied with fresh faces. Young faces. Very young. But it goes deeper. Darker than you can imagine. Courtney's ties aren't just to Epstein's sex ring. They're a cult. She's part of that shadow elite, the ones who dabble in the profane to justify their depravity. It's a religion to them, a way to transcend morality. And the cannibalism? That's the heart of it. The unspeakable core that even Epstein's emails only hint at. I saw all the evidence, pieced together from cursed journals that hadn't been released in full. He wrote about it obsessively in his final months, fragments of madness that we tried to use as evidence of duress in the will contest. One night, high on whatever cocktail Courtney fed him, mushrooms laced with heroin or something, he stumbled into a private room at one of her parties. There she was, surrounded by the occult inner circle. The big money guys, A-list directors, even a senator whose name I'd be killed for mentioning. All the people he hated. And they were feasting, not on caviar or foie gras, but on flesh. Human flesh. Courtney, at the center, delicately slicing into what Kurt described as a small, pale limb, a baby's arm, roasted like veal. He thought it was a hallucination at first, the drugs warping his mind. She let him believe that, toyed with him for months. "You're losing it, darling," she'd whisper, gaslighting him until he questioned his own sanity. Therapy sessions organized by her, doctors on her payroll, all reinforcing that it was just a bad trip. But he pieced it together eventually. He started digging, confronting her in rages that left bruises on both sides. That's when he realized the truth. They all do it. Cannibalism as the ultimate rite, consuming the innocent to absorb their vitality, their purity. It's their sacrament, binding them in blood. Epstein's Island wasn't just about sex. It was a harvest ground. Courtney confessed it to him in a moment of cruel honesty, how the network procures delicacies from the trafficked. Babies, sometimes, for the highest ceremonies. Kurt was horrified, but more than that, he was a threat. He started talking to friends, hinting at exposés. In Hollywood, they pressured her to end it. He was becoming unstable, a liability in an industry built on illusions. So she had him killed. Not with her own hands, of course. Too clean for that. The industry closed ranks. Media spun it as another tragic rock star downfall. Courtney walked away richer, more powerful, her secrets buried with him. But among the industry elite, it's an open secret. You know how people say someone would sell their own grandmother for fame? That's nothing. These people sell their own kids.
Probe too deep into the shadows of the elite pedophile rings, the Epstein files, the protected networks threading through Hollywood politics and ancient bloodlines. And the machine doesn't merely observe, it reacts. One search leads to another. A forum thread, a leaked document, a pattern too precise to dismiss. But in 2026, curiosity carries real risk. Digital surveillance is total. Algorithms flag sensitive queries. Accounts vanish under misinformation purges. Encrypted trails get subpoenaed. And anonymous researchers find themselves doxed, deplatformed, or quietly visited by authorities, wielding new global hate speech and extremism laws. The internet isn't the wild frontier anymore. Why? Because if the elite secrets get out, it's over for them. This is why Israel have infiltrated and compromised most of the world's leading VPNs, including ExpressVPN, CyberGhost, Nord, Private Internet Access, and dozens more. Meanwhile, industry leader ProtonVPN is funded and controlled by the WEF. Still using these compromised legacy VPNs in 2026? That's like wiring your brain straight into the surveillance matrix. That's why we're revealing the first trustless VPN, VP.net. Built last year with new generation privacy tech, so that even if it wanted to spy on you, it couldn't. Even if the feds came knocking, they'll walk away empty-handed. It's built inside a secure enclave, uses military-grade encryption and stores zero data. Sign up today at vp.net/TPV, and you can finally stop asking who's monitoring me. Because the answer is they were, but with vp.net, not anymore.